Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn them to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to focus in on verses 8 through 10 this morning. And I want to share some stuff with you from this chapter, these verses that are powerful. And this morning, I want you to understand that as you're created, God created you for a purpose. He created you with a plan. He created you with understanding. He created you perfectly. He perfectly made you. He molded you in your mother's womb and designed you for a unique purpose, a unique lifestyle, and a unique calling that He has just for you. Nobody else has your DNA. Everybody look at your thumb really quickly, because I want you to understand nobody else has your thumbprint. That's the only thumbprint in the world that is different than everybody else's, and it's yours. But this morning, I want you to focus in on something out of this chapter. And it says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Everybody say, a gift from God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I want to share something with you that's really unique, because as Christy was doing this morning, I couldn't help but grin, because every ingredient that goes into that bowl to mix together a brownie or a cake or whatever it is you're making, it has to be just right. Every ingredient that God used to form you, to make you, down to every number of the hairs on your head, was perfectly numbered, perfectly made. He did not make any mistakes. Catch that. God did not make a mistake when He made you. Through often in life, we believe that the workmanship of God, there was a mistake made. I've had people tell me in the past, I wished I'd have never been born. I wish this would have never happened. I wish these things. My life is terrible. I have all of these problems. You don't understand. I understand that God perfectly, divinely, knowingly made each of us. We are God's masterpiece. We're one of a kind. Nobody else, unless you have a twin, looks like you. Think about that for a moment. You know, there's times where Abby and I go somewhere and everybody will go, "Man, she looks just like you." And I'm like, pray for her that she will grow out of it. Then there's times where her and Carrie will go somewhere and they'll be like, "You look just like your mom." And I'm like, praise the Lord. Then there's times when they're like, "She looks like her granddad." And I'm like, that's not a bad thing either, you know. But there's times where we walk out and I don't want people to see each other in us. I want people to see Jesus through us. Think about that. What you're close to is what you become. Carrie tells me all the time, you're a chameleon. You can blend in anywhere. You fit in anywhere. You adapt to the environment that you're in. But here's the thing. We shouldn't adapt to environments that we're in. We should be able to stand out and be set apart in such a way that when people see us, they see Jesus. Why? Why is that so important? Because it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about what we desire. It's not about what we want. It's not about our goal in life. Yes, He gave us common sense. Amen? Some people just use the lack thereof. He gave us knowledge. He gave us the ability to make decisions. He gave us all of these things, and it was His workmanship. It was His workmanship. What does that word mean? So I get out the concordance that I use as a strong concordance, and I get it out, and I'm looking at that word, and the translation out of the Greek Hebrew is this, panama. Panama. Such a powerful word, but what does it mean? Well, some people would say, well, it means workmanship, Tom. I mean, it's common sense. No, really, it doesn't mean just workmanship. It means much more than that. A product that is perfectly made, literally and that one word that I can't get out right now. Yeah, thank you, Miss Christy. Y'all heard that. Amen. Figuratively made. It's not just individually put together and like, oops, I made a mistake. When He formed us, when He made us, He had the intention of making us in His image. Amen. Because when God created man, He created them in His image. So if we don't act like we're too good for people, don't get me wrong there. We don't act like we're too good for people. We don't act like we've got it all together. We don't act like we know more than anyone else. Because let me tell you something. The moment that you think you have it all together is a mistake. Because you don't. If you think that perfectly made means that you're perfect, you are a fool. Some would say, oh, Brother Tom, don't say that because the Bible says if you call any man a fool, you're in danger of hell fire. That's actually what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that. If any man among you says he's without sin, he is a liar. Do you know what the Greek Hebrew word for liar means? When you break it all down, one who doesn't tell the truth, a foolish man, that's powerful all by itself. God didn't create us to sit on our blessed assurance. I kind of got tickled when we sung that song this morning. I was like, my daddy used to tell me that all the time. Get off your blessed assurance and do something. I never understood that. I never understood that, that blessed assurance. We never have an understanding of that until we realize that we're perfectly made. We're a very unique individual person, and it's a gift from God. It is a gift from God. It is God's way of saying, you know what? I love you enough that I'm going to create you in my image. You know what else? I'm going to take and I'm going to make sure that you're set apart from everybody else. I don't want you to blend in with the world. I want you to be set apart from the world. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in, really. Really. Could you imagine as a person takes all the ingredients and they take the oil and the egg and the water and the milk and all these other things and they put it all together in the bowl and they're making that cake, then they drop jalapenos off in it. I'm a weirdo like that. I would at least try. But everybody else would be like, you just weren't the cake. Do you know there's a unique thing about cooking? Carrie tells me all the time, everybody loves my spaghetti. I don't take just the hamburger meat and fry it down, throw it in the pot with the noodles, mix it all up, pour sauce in it, and you're done. No, I want flavor in my food. Amen? Men, you want to be able to eat and taste what you're eating other than just tomato sauce. So when I make that spaghetti, I put all these seasonings into the meat. My garlic, my onion, everything. All of it goes in together. When God created us, He put everything in us at one time. He doesn't do it apart. Amen? He doesn't say, you know what? You're going to go through some things, but I've created you to withstand those things. Think about that. How many times in your life have you thought, man, this is going to kill me. This is what's going to take me out. This is what's going to do me in. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I can't handle this no more. God created you for that trial. If He didn't give you the ability, because we have to understand, we're not holding ourselves up. He's holding us up, as it said in the clip, with His righteous right hand. He formed us in such a way that He says, you know what? I want you to have understanding. I'm going to move that. That's going to end bad. created you in such a way that he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to have an understanding of who I've called you to be, and you cannot ever understand. Listen to me, church, very carefully. You will never understand who he's called you to be unless you find your identity through the Word of God and through the cross. Never. You can say, well, I know that I'm good at playing sports. Teenagers, listen to me. I know I'm good at playing sports. I know that I'm a good worker. I know that I'm smart academically. I can go to college, do anything I want to do. Let me explain this to you. Until you seek God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you'll never be good at anything. You may succeed in some things. You may do well in some things. But until you seek ye first the kingdom of God, you're never going to be good at anything. Some parents are probably thinking, I can't believe he just told my kid that. Take a big, deep breath, because guess what? Unless you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then those things will be added unto you. Unless you as a parent, hear me. Unless we as a parent seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, we'll never be a good parent. Never. We may be, in their eyes, in our kids' eyes, how many people do you know right now? I can tell you right now, I can name off every mistake that my parents made. We all could. We can make a list of pros and cons. But I'm going to tell you what, I had a good mama and daddy. But they wasn't godly parents. They wasn't the parent that said, you know what, God created you in his image. Guess what? You are the apple of his eye. Every morning when he gets up, he looks at you and he says, I love you enough that I gave you life today. I gave you breath today. He created us for a purpose. He said, you are a workmanship. But this is what I want us to catch. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. You didn't save yourself. Let me highlight something here really quickly. I'm going to make a blanket statement here, and I want you to hear me. You did not save yourself. You cannot unsave yourself. I've had so many people over the years ask me, do you preach once saved, always saved? Absolutely not. You either got it or you don't. You either in it or you ain't. But I can tell you this, you didn't save yourself, so you can't unsave yourself. Many people throughout my path and throughout my journey in ministry have disagreed highly with me on that, but it says right here in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Not of works. You can't earn it. Nothing you can do can earn your salvation. Nothing you can do will set you into a higher standard of being a Christian. It's not by works. Catch that. Now we're going to go a little deeper. Least any man should boast, because if you saved yourself and it was done by works, you'd be able to go around and tell everybody how you the man, how you the woman. Could you imagine, men, listen to me, we got a big enough ego as it is, don't we? We go fishing, we catch a fish like this, and by the end of the day, it was this big. By the end of the week, it was this big. By the next year, it was, man, I couldn't even pull it in the boat. Go deer hunting and you kill a good buck. It went from 7 points to 15 in 20 seconds. Could you imagine if we could save ourselves? If we were good enough? If we were pure enough to create our own salvation? Could you imagine that? Disaster would await. Because within a month, we'd say, you know what? I'm not doing this no more. It's too hard. Do you know there's a lot of Christians today in the same mindset? This is too hard. It's too much. I cannot do this. It's too much. I don't know what to do, but I can't do this. This is not for me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He created us to do good things. Amen. He didn't say you're good, because the Bible also tells us, no, there's not none good. Amen. I get tickled at her daddy. We'll go up to her mom and dad's house, and Eston will look at me and say, son, how are you today? I'm good. Well, I know you ain't either. The Bible says there are none good. I'm like, well, you got me there, Pop. You know. But there's not. There are none good. Look, we are a flawed people. Miss Gloria, I messed up yesterday. A lot. Guess what, Donnie? I messed up this morning too. A lot. Newsflash. I'm a sinner. Can I tell you something else? I'm also forgiven. He didn't say live in sin. Be free from it. Don't do the same things over and over and expect a different result. We're all victims of our own selfish desire. How do we break that? We seek the Word. We seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and them things will be added unto us. How do I know that? How do we know that it works? Because we do it. How do we do it? We spend time with Him in that secret place. We close the door when nobody's around, and we just sit quietly and listen to the Father and wait on Him. And you know what's funny? As much as I like to talk, Dale, sometimes He doesn't even say anything. But through my prayer, I get the answer that He's already given me. Well, it's kind of like a parent going, why did you come to me for advice when you already know what to do? Anybody else ever done that? Call somebody, be like, I need advice. I need a way to figure this out. I need help. And then you go through the whole story. Go through the whole story. Why did I even call them? Common sense tells me what I know I need to do. I've done it more than once. Amen, Marco? I'll call Mark. Man, and look, he is such a good friend. Let me tell you what he does. He lets me rant for a whole 30 minutes one time. And then he says, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just using that as an example. I can't remember what it was. And I go and I get home, and I was upset because he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. And I get home and I pull it up in my Bible and I go, man, I hate it when he's right. Man. But isn't it unique how those that hold us accountable, we get mad at them for being right sometimes. Have you ever done that? Kids, you ever done that? No, you can't go over. Is it why? Well, first of all, my kids ever looked at me after I tell them no and say why, we're going to have a problem. I'm scared of that one. She's a little mean. But she... using this as an example, if I tell Abby, no, you can't do that, well, why not? Well, because these are the results of what can happen if you do that. No, it's not a good idea. And we do that with God. God, I want this and I need that and I want to do this and I want to do that. And Lord, if it's in thy will, He said He'd give us the desires of our heart, right? You better be careful what you pray for. Just making sure we're still working here. You better be careful what you pray for. A month ago, Dale, I come in here on a Sunday morning, not bragging on me, I'm just sharing a testimony with y'all. I come in here, it was on a Sunday morning, church was completely empty, nobody got here yet. I got down right here at this altar and I began to pray. God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'll never forget it as long as I live. But I need you to get my attention. Amen. That's what I prayed. And he tried several things now that I look back to get my attention. Several things. Did I add several things, Waylon? Did I say that yet? To the point where I sat back there and I thought I was literally dying. Well, technically, literally, I was dying. Listen to me. He's going to get our attention. Amen. And now I look at it and I go, bet you don't pray for that again. Now I'm looking at it going, God, you've got my undivided attention. Because I was called for a purpose. I was created for a purpose. I wasn't created to walk around with a blowed out, puffed up chest, arrogant and prideful. Because pride comes before the fall. It also paves a way to destruction. And last time I looked in the qualifications of a pastor or a bishop, anyone desiring to be a pastor or a bishop or an elder or any of those things, in 2 Timothy, it says not to be prideful. Amen? Not to be boastful. And I did. I prayed that. I said, God, get my attention. Whatever it is I'm missing, get my attention. And he did. Oh, he got it. Amen. But I was created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. You are the perfect work of God. I didn't say you were perfect. Hear me. But you were created perfect by God. The country song, I can see all your imperfections or whatever. I can't remember. We heard it this morning. And I'm telling you this, as he said in the clip, I can stand in the mirror and I can point out every flaw and every imperfection. I am, if it was in my standard, if I looked at myself the way that I think a lot of other people look at me, I would hate me. Catch that. If we looked at ourselves the way that we think other people see us, we would hate ourselves. Jokes on them. You ready for this? They didn't create you. I know me. I live with me. I love me. But it's because He loved me first. He created me with a purpose and a plan. He created you with a purpose and a plan. There's nothing that you've done to deserve it. Nothing that I've done to deserve it. But He loved us enough that He sent His Son to go die on a cross for us. He loved us enough that He said, you know what? Out of everybody in the world, billions of people on this planet, billions. And He loves you more than anybody else. Could you imagine an unconditional love that deep? That He created you so He could love you so deeply and so rooted. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You know, it's not every day that we get up and God goes, you know, I created this. I made this. I just don't want it no more. I don't love it no more. He gets up every day and He looks at you and He says, I love you. I created you for a purpose and for a plan. And in closing, I want to tell you this. When He made us, He uniquely placed us to stand out. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart.
And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard, it's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.